Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And I'm hoping my wandering co-host is back in beautiful Canada and away from Arizona. Mr. McLeod, are you out there? Tim? Let's try this again. Mr. McLeod, are you out there?
Yeah, I sure am. I was there, I heard you, and then I was gone.
I apologize. I forgot to hit the little button that made you go live. So are you back? Are you back in beautiful Fort Francis?
Yes, we are. We're coming to you live tonight from the suburbs of Fort Francis. Vacation's over, home sweet home it is.
And Timmy, how was the vacation?
The vacation was wonderful. We put 7,600 kilometers or so on the vehicle, had a lot of fun, met a lot of great people. It was a great time, Rich. It really was.
Oh, that's awesome, Timmy. And stop anywhere fun on the way back?
Yeah, we decided we were going to go check out the meteorite landing spot in Arizona until they wanted, I think it was $16 or $18 a ticket to see a hole in the ground. So that sort of discouraged me. I can dig one in the backyard, not quite the same, and you know, a little less than that. But
I did not know there was such a thing as a meteorite hole. I didn't know that.
Well, yeah. Apparently, it's 60 stories deep, 1,000 feet, I think, or 4,000 feet across. The largest meteorite, supposedly, that's landed on the good old planet Earth. So we decided to check that. I stood on the corner of Winslow, Arizona.
Saw that. Saw that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was. Hey, it was fun. It was just something. Every time I go by Winslow on my way to Phoenix, I always start humming that song. And I figured, what the heck? Let's stop and take a picture. Let's be a tourist, right?
That's awesome. It looked like they actually had it there for taking pictures. I'm surprised they didn't charge you to take a picture.
Yeah, actually, all it is just a wall. There's nothing behind there. It's a park.
Oh, really?
It's not a building. It's just a brick wall.
That's funny.
Yeah.
And did you hit any casinos on the way back?
Yeah, we hit a couple, and visited with some friends. Went for supper with a longtime friend in Kansas City. Hey, Todd, it was great. Hopefully, we'll get to do it again soon. And it was just an awesome time. It really was. Ran into a lot of good people, and had a lot of fun. Rich.
Good. Todd listens to the show.
He certainly does. We've played in leagues off and on for probably 15 years, and one of these years I'm going to, you know, smuggle him into my trunk on the way to Arizona. He's threatened a few times to come, and he's a longtime player, and hopefully one of these years himself and so many others can make it down to Arizona and sit in the sun and watch some games.
Now, the question is, Timmy, if picking up in Kansas, that's probably still 1,000 miles at least to Arizona, will you still be friends with him after traveling in your trunk or in your back seat for 1,000 miles?
We have air conditioning. Life is good.
Okay, because sometimes traveling in a car together, Tim, you start off as friends and you don't end as friends. That's why you get married, Tim, because you have to stay married.
Well, yeah, but you know what, Kathy and I, we've made that trek now 5 times by car.
Uh-huh.
And we've come back better and stronger with each trip. At least that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
But there's got to be points along the way, Timmy, that you spend hours not talking to each other. I mean, I'm assuming you run out of things to talk about.
Rich, you're married. Do you ever run out of things to talk about, okay?
No, I guess not. Only she's going to take a nap. I guess that's probably the only time we're not talking, so.
Well, yeah, Rich, how well do you know me? Have you ever found me to have a real challenging time with a discussion? It doesn't happen.
Any completely inane conversations you had, you're just like, I can't. We're delirious. We're having this ridiculous conversation about sand or about frying pans or anything like that. Did you have any like crazy conversations? Just go, oh boy, we've been in the car too long.
Not this trip, but I think it was the first or second trip. Okay, that I made. I had to invent my invisible friend Buddy. Did I ever tell you that story?
No. Okay. Oh Lord.
I did something stupid. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And even if I didn't do something stupid, I did something stupid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't talking, right?
Uh oh.
Okay. You know the silent thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I invented my invisible and imaginary friend Buddy, who sat on my shoulder. And I carried on a conversation. Me and Buddy, we carried on a conversation for about an hour and a half, okay?
Oh, my gosh. Did Kathy finally relent and just say, start talking to make you shut up, or was she laughing?
After about an hour of her shaking her head and fighting off laughter, she finally broke out and just hysterically started laughing. We forgot what the scrap was all about. And Buddy was pretty well quiet for the rest of the trip, but I had a really great conversation with him. You know, we were trying to figure out why Kathy was mad at me, and it's a lot of fun talking to your imaginary friends at a car.
Marital tips from the great Tim McLeod. There you go. If everything else fails, invisible Buddy, that's the way to go. That's what you're telling our listeners, Tim.
Well, yeah, and if that doesn't work, I do know a good lawyer or two, but I don't think practice in the States.
Okay, that's true. So Timmy, believe it or not, we're under the 100-day mark. So I think the pitchers and catchers report about the 13th or 14th of February. So that puts us about 93, 94 days away from finally getting back to some action. That's not bad.
No, that's not bad at all. And, you know, hey, they play baseball in Australia, Rich, and there's the winter leagues, and there's all the off-season stuff that goes on. It's going to be a busy 100 or so days.
In fact, a lot of trades, a lot of signings really early this year, and we're not even to Monday. I think it's Monday at 5 p.m. where the 11 guys that have been given qualifying offers, or 10 guys, I'm not sure the exact number, have to decide whether they're going to take it or not. I mean, we're still really early in the process, which kind of leads me to believe, Timmy, because the free agent market is so light, I think we're going to see a lot of trades this year.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a fair number as well. And it's going to be very, very interesting to see how the older generation gets moved around, because let's face it, our game is getting younger and younger every year. And as we've discussed in the past, what will the interest be in a 30-year-old old timer, Rich?
It's a really good question, Timmy. And we might find that out with Detroit, as they appear to say, Uncle, this team is just, it's a good team. It's not a good enough team to, you know, to really be a championship team. And, you know, we're hearing Justin Verlander's name surface, and kudos to Justin Verlander from coming back from the brink of just awfulness to a really good pitcher last year. Eventually we'll talk about him and where we think he's going to go in drafts. And heavens to be, Timmy, they actually might trade Miguel Cabrera. How is that possible?
Teams need first baseman. You know, there's a lot of money involved there, but Miggy's in the prime of his game, and I'd have to think that he would fetch just an incredible one. Here's a hypothetical situation. How good would the Yankees be if they managed to pick up Miggy and Harper?
Harper?
Bryce Harper. Isn't he a free agent coming up?
No. Okay, no. That's next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he leads the 2018 class. It's the 2017 class. That's lousy. That's interesting,
yeah.
Timmy. I do not think the Yankees, I would be incredibly disappointed after what they just did if they get themselves under yet another large contract of a guy who is 33 years old, could be older, and after they just have gotten rid of all of these guys. And now I could see them going in on Bryce Harper. I could see them making Bryce Harper a $300 million player potentially. I can't see them doing that. I can't see them picking up Miguel Cabrera. I just can't see that. I could see the Angels doing that.
Well, but how many DH types do they need?
That's true. They got CJ Cron. They got a bunch of other guys. So that's a good point.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can only have a want for so many first base DH types. I think the Angels are filled up there. But no, I think I agree with you. I would be disappointed as well after what we've seen over the past 2 years. But can you rule it out?
Well, you can't ever rule it out with the Yankees because every time they do something really, really smart, you think they're going to do something really, really stupid because history is on our side, Timmy. So,
right.
But then again, the Cubs won the World Series, so maybe history is starting to break itself. And Donald Trump, by the way, also got elected president, which I don't think anybody believed that would ever happen. Timmy, what do you think about that? Did you hear that as you were crossing the country about we now have a new president?
Yeah, I followed it actively. I'm very, very happy and proud to be Canadian, Rich. Enjoy the next 4 years. It's all yours, okay?
People have been calling you up and asking if you have a room to rent up in beautiful Fort Frances. I might actually be calling you up, Timmy. So
I've got three rented already, Rich, but I will, okay? Because you let me into the new Dynasty League, I'll move you to the top. Sorry, guys. Hey, that Dynasty League talks. It trumps the other four, no pun intended. And you're right at the top of the list, Rich.
I will tell you, Timmy, I stayed up fairly late on Tuesday evening to watch the results, and it was as exciting as Game 7 or Super Bowl. It was darn exciting. I mean, watching, got my spreadsheet out. I was trying to figure out the math for who could win and who could not win. It was incredibly exciting. And watching the futures market, Timmy, go completely bonkers. They went down by 5%, and by morning they were already recovered. It was a wild evening in the U.S. And I think a lot of people were bleary eyed the next day going to work because it was such an interesting election. And I hope Donald Trump turns out to be a great president because we need that. But I did not vote for him, and I was a little disappointed, obviously. But it is what it is, and now we all have to get behind him and support him because, Timmy, it's really important from a worldwide standpoint.
Well, I think it's very important too, Rich. How can you not support a guy that spent the formative years of his political career looking for a Kenyan passport? Oh, sorry, that was a shot, sorry.
Yeah, was it Kenyan? I remember he thought Obama was not born in the U.S. So I don't know, Timmy. It was crazy, but it was a fun night. It really was a fun night. So, but now we've got 4 years, and we'll see. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a very, very interesting time. I actually follow American politics probably a little closer than I almost do Canadian politics, Rich. And I stayed up late as well, and like I said, I'm very happy to be Canadian tonight. How's that?
Okay, we'll leave that. Again, I'm proud to be an American. I'm hoping for the best, and I am not going to be a protester. I am going to be a positive, let's make this happen type of person. Because, Tim, if I want to think happy thoughts. I do not want to go negative at all. So it's too important.
Good for you, Rick.
It's actually more important than, believe it or not, fantasy baseball. So this is – this is the country and, you know, in which we live in. So we got to be supportive as we go. But Timmy, a lot of good stuff happened from a baseball standpoint. So let's ditch the political talk and get into some baseball talk. You good?
Yeah, I'm always good. They should be finished searching my car in another hour, Rich. Okay. Just kidding.
Okay. Smuggling guys in. So Timmy, I guess the first significant signing was the Blue Jays signed Kendrys Morales. Here he hits 30 home runs, and they go, gee, we got these other older guys that probably want more money and more length of time, and Bautista and Encarnacion. Let me sign Kendrys Morales. So they do a 3-year, $33 million deal, which is very reasonable from a baseball standpoint. I mean, I'm assuming, Timmy, this is bye-bye E5 and bye-bye Bautista.
Yeah, I think it's a guarantee on E5. Bautista, I don't know. I don't know what offers he's going to get out there. He's not coming off a great year. But, yeah, I think the Jays gave it a shot to sign E5, and it's not going to happen. And I really like what they've done here. I think moving early ensures them, you know, not getting into, a cash war 3 weeks down the, you know, a battle for the dollars. And, you know, it's a good signing. He's a left-handed bat. You know, he's, you know, the 30 home runs, I don't know how many were hit in KC, but definitely the atmosphere in Toronto for his power is going to be much more positive than it was in KC. I like it, and I like it a lot.
I like it for fantasy owners as well, Timmy. I mean,
yeah.
If he could do – I mean, again – eventually we'll have a whole podcast, and I don't know if you and I have the answers, whether the power surge is real that we saw last year, because, I mean, 30 is the old 20. So, I mean, I don't know if it's real or not, but if he can hit 20 in Kansas City, I'm assuming that's 35 in Toronto, right?
I would like to think at least 30, if not 35, yeah. And, you know, by having that left-handed bat in the heart of that order, it sort of breaks things up and actually might help Josh Donaldson a little bit.
Yeah, that, I think that's one of the reasons they wanted to have him, because it was very, very right-handed last year.
Yep.
Again, they're not going to have Bautista in E5 anymore. Let's see, Kendrys Morales hit 19 – oops, that's, let's see, it is home and away – he hit 12 home runs at home and 18 home runs away.
Take 18 times 2. That's all. That 35 sounds like it's within the realm then, right?
Yeah, he's a year older, but he missed 2 years, Timmy, so maybe he's a young 33.
Well, exactly, and I think by going in early, it was a smart move.
Yeah, and I think that's a really wise statement. I think that's why I think we're going to see so much movement, because the pool is so thin. I think you're going to see teams getting very, very aggressive and trying to lock up a couple of players. And in fact, I heard Theo Epstein say that was the reason they went heavy last year, because he said the crop was going to be so thin this year. That's why they dipped in pretty heavy last year, so they're not going to do that this year. But I think I have to think that Kendrys Morales also had a role in there. Remember, Timmy, it was just 2 years ago or 3 years ago, he was left out in the cold, right? He tried for the big contract and didn't get it. So you have to think I think Barr still is his counselor, maybe he hired him. But he's got to be thinking, I don't want to get left out in the cold again. I'm a DH now. So I think there's probably a little bit of that.
Well, yeah, and let's face it, that $33 million, by the time you take off your agent's commission, taxes, et cetera, that should leave him in pretty fair shape, and forgetting about the fact that he didn't earn a whole lot of cash a few years ago when he didn't play, but half a season?
Yeah, I mean, he played half a season, so that was – and then he was – when he was with the Angels, he lost a year and a half of playing time. So, again, that's where I came up with the 2 years,
right.
Which is why I think he's a bit of a young 33. So, Timmy, I will admit you're a smarter man than I am. You're a better fantasy player, and you're more wise because you do have a few years on me. So I like for you to explain.
Was that praise or a shot?
Yeah, you know, it's a double-edged sword. I let our listeners figure that one out, Timmy. So I can't give you too much praise. I've got to get a little shots in there every once in a while. Why did the Phillies – a rebuilding Phillies, why did they trade for Howard Kendrick? Please explain this to me, Tim.
First off, I think he'll be a very nice temporary fix. And I think being that it's a relatively, as you put it, bleak year from a free agent perspective, I think they're looking at flipping him.
Okay, well, that's fair.
Halfway through next season. And as we get further into the show, I'll explain why I think the Dodgers didn't have any problems parting with him.
Wow. So Tim has really thought about this. This is why you're smarter than me, Tim. I was shaking my head. I kind of gave up, but I do like the flipping mentality. That's very much a Billy Bean approach. And assuming Howard Kendrick has a decent year, which, again, he's an older guy as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that he could be flipped. I think that's a really good call. One of the guys that the Dodgers got in exchange is a guy that I've always liked, and that's Darnell Sweeney. Now, I liked him so much, of course, he said, well, I'll bat 233 last year in AAA and never make it to Philadelphia. But in that draft championship with the NFBC, to me, was one of my round 47 picks.
Right.
You know, kind of, and of course, didn't help me at all. But I do like him, and there's no place for him to play, but maybe the Dodgers move him in a package, too. So he is 25 years old, but Darren Roth, I mean, he played in Japan or Korea a few years ago. It just seems like they dumped Howard Kendrick and maybe a financial play for them.
Yeah, I don't think the parts coming back are all that significant. I think Sweeney could turn into a very, very nice off-the-bench fourth outfielder, you know, covering off for Chase Utley at second base, who's not getting any younger, let's face it. So, you know, I like Sweeney, and I think he's going to get some at-bats rough. I have no idea what's happening there, and I don't think the Dodgers or anybody else does.
Yeah, they might even release him. So for all we
right.
know, it could be just a player to come back, and maybe they'll try to get a bag of balls for him. And today, maybe, you know, you're obviously being up in Canada, I know you haven't been home very long, but the Jays did sign Lourdes Guerrero, which is the younger brother, Yulinski, who signed with, I think it was the Astros, right? And he's a young guy, Timmy. He's still in the minor leagues, but they signed him for 7 years and $22 million. Which is only $3 million a year, but it, you know, there's been a lot of question on whether this guy's ever going to be able to hit. So tons of athleticism, a little bit of power, a little bit of pop, but he's a long way to go, at least from the reports I've read about. I've never seen him play. So Timmy, what's your thought? You know, being a little bit closer to the deal.
Well, I think it's a good gamble. It's 7 years, $22 million. I do have some concerns. I've read these, you know, average power and speed. You know, the fielding, the grade I saw was 60 with a 55 arm. Apparently, he's going to start at AA. But I guess one of the concerns I have is that, you know, he was signed to play in Japan, and he actually never played over there. There's a lot of question marks, and I can't find a lot of answers, Rich, but we're talking about a young player who's got some upside potential, and 7 years at $22 million is not a lot to speculate on those skills translating. He's fairly tall. I think he's going to grow into his body a bit. Lanky is about the best way of describing his body at this point in time. So I'm okay with it. I think it's a good signing.
So let's talk about people really care about. Timmy, I don't know. I didn't get a chance to really reach out to anybody because I was busy writing this weekend to see what people thought who might have seen. I think it's Lourdes. I think that's how you say his first name. So I'm fortunate. Maybe in the coming weeks I'll reach out and see if some of my international friends have seen him. It's funny, Timmy. I know a lot of people in baseball now. I don't know a lot of guys from the international standpoint. So if you ever read my stuff at Prospect 361, you'll see some lightness on 16-year-old kids that just got drafted. I just don't follow them enough, and I haven't built up that area of expertise or, you know, area of a network out there to find out information, which is true with Yordas as well, but I'll try to do that. But let's talk dynasty leagues, Timmy. Would you gamble on a, let's say in our, you know, DL2 and our redraft league, where would you grab him in a redraft of a rookie draft?
Well, I would take a look, and he's definitely not going to be one of the top 5-6 players off the board. Those are going to go for your potential studs that came out of the first round last year. There's also going to be probably a handful of players sitting on the waiver wire for whatever reason that could provide value and fill needs. I'm thinking towards the back end of the first round, Rich.
Okay, so 10 to 15, maybe 10
yeah,
to 20?
I think Gurriel fits in well somewhere in that range.
Yeah, I mean, he's in AA. He's not, you know, a high school kid that's coming out. So there's some opportunity. You know, I think there's something that's known about him. So I think that's good. I would probably take a number of, because the draft was fairly good last year. It's fairly shallow, but it's fairly deep at the top, if you know what I mean. So the first 10 to 12 guys are pretty strong. But I would probably, I'm with you, I'd probably not 10 to 15. It'd be more like 12 to 18 for me, kind of in that range.
Yeah, if he's starting at AA, we could see him as soon as, you know, potentially a September call-up in 2017. Definitely, I would have to think that 2018 is on the radar, so he's not that far away. So, yeah, I like that range. That's where I'll be.
Okay, so Dynasty League owners, you have been warned. That's where you have to pick him up in DL2. That's about where Timmy's going to be drafting, so we know who his first-round pick is. So if you're in the second round, you better think that he's probably not going to make it back to you. Timmy, the Braves, again, the Phillies are rebuilding, so are the Braves. I don't know if they signed Bartolo Colon and R.A. Dickey to try to flip those guys. I think everybody wants Bartolo Colon on their team just because he's old and is going to give you the innings, and he's actually pretty good. But it is a curious signing, Timmy. What are your thoughts there?
Well, my first thought was that, you know, being in the National League, we could see 100% growth in his home run numbers next year, Rich. He could get to 2.
Yeah, he could. I mean, we have no idea how that new ballpark is going to play at all. So, Timmy, they are in that new ballpark. And I was in Atlanta this week, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a car, and I had an 8:40 flight. And I was about 40 minutes away in a town called Alpharetta, which is just north of the city, Timmy. So I had to take the highway all the way through downtown here. It wasn't surface roads. It was a highway. Bumper-to-bumper traffic, it took me an hour and 45 minutes. The traffic, and we went right by where the new ballpark is going to be, probably 2 or 3 miles away, right at the intersection. Timmy, that is going to be a mess, people trying to get in and out of that ballpark. The Atlanta traffic is awful, absolutely awful.
It probably took you longer to drive to your meeting from when you landed than it did to fly there, correct?
Yeah, usually when I go to Atlanta, I take the corporate jet, but it wasn't available, so I had to drive into the fly into Hartford or whatever they call that airport down there. It's brutal. You're right. It took me about an hour and a half to fly home, and it was an hour and 45 minutes to drive 40 minutes to. It's terrible. But we don't know how that new park is going to play at all. So. Yeah, I know, Bart. I know you're joking about the Bartolo Colon, but it is interesting how we evaluate Atlanta Braves coming into the season. Like, what do you do with Freddie Freeman in the draft room? He had a great year last year, but does his home runs go up? Do they go down? What do you do?
I draft him as Freddie Freeman. The numbers were great last year, and the team's only going to get better moving forward. So, if anything, a tick up, he's got to be, I would say, third round, probably, maybe second. He's going to go high because first baseman, you know, once we get into it, there's a lot of question marks at that position.
Yeah, I agree there. Bartolo Colon, R.A. Dickey, Timmy, if you're an NL only, who would you rather have?
Oh, Bartolo, easily. Somebody posted, and I didn't verify it, but Dickey has an ERA of 7.50 or something in Atlanta. It's probably an incredibly small sample size, but I didn't see anything from R.A. Dickey that would lead me to believe that there's a whole lot of hope moving forward. You know, Bart goes out there and does his bit. Definitely Cologne for me.
But R.A. Dickey was really good when he was in the National League. He goes to the American League, particularly the AL East, and it's terrible. So any thoughts that maybe he finds a little bit of that magic that he had in the NL? Or I'm just trying to fish here, Tim.
Yeah. Anything's possible. Am I betting on it? No. He's, what, 3-4 years older now? He's no spring chicken. And, you know what? He could prove me totally wrong. But I don't play in any NL onlys. I play in one AL only. So my interest is virtually nil on Dickey.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. Timmy, one thing I didn't put in the notes but came in kind of yesterday or after I finished up the notes, and that's the Mariners acquire Danny Valencia for right-handed pitcher Paul Blackburn, and they announced that he'll mostly platoon with Danny Vogelbach. And I forgot that Danny Vogelbach was now in Seattle. And it looks like Daeho Lee is out. I know you're a big fan of Daeho Lee. So let's unwind this a little bit. Any interest in Vogelbach or Valencia? Vogelbach's a lefty, so he's going to get probably 400 at-bats. What are your thoughts about drafting him maybe as a corner infielder next year?
Yeah, you know, if you're looking at a utility type player, yeah, I think there is definitely some interest for me in Valencia. Obviously, the A's have now purged themselves of that whole Butler-Valencia fiasco and are moving forward. But, yeah, Valencia could get some at-bats at third base, possibly, you know, the outfield, DH. There's a lot of options there, and I think he can still be a valuable injury replacement type player in even mixed formats.
So what about Vogelbach? That's the guy I'm more interested in. Or do you not know a lot about Vogelbach?
The only thing that I think I know is that he's a big swing and miss guy.
No. He's a big guy.
Right.
He's a very large man, Timmy. Not athletic at all, but he can hit. And he's got a little bit of pop, Timmy. He was stuck in the Cubs organization for forever and was always looked upon as, you know, potentially a DH guy. But now he's got some offensive skills that I think people should be researching Danny Vogelbach a little bit.
Well, I know one person who definitely will be, and that's yours truly. Is Adam Lind finished? I haven't really followed it that closely. Is his contract up?
I don't know, Timmy, but that was the report I read coming out of Seattle. So just to let you know, Vogelbach here. So let me throw some numbers at you, Timmy.
Okay, I like numbers.
Lifetime 286 batting average, but a 391 on base percentage.
He can find his way to first base. Why'd the A's give up on him?
No, he was not with the A's. He was with the Cubs.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I'm thinking Oakland. Well, how did he get there with? What was he part of the Valencia deal, or am I missing something here?
Traded for Valencia. Vogelbach was already there. Then the Seattle came up and said, look, Dejo Lee is done. We think we want to use Vogelbach and some kind of combination of Vogelbach and Valencia at first base and a share. So he came over in the Cubs trade of Montgomery. It was Mike Montgomery. Yep, there was a straight-up trade because I really liked that because I thought Vogelbach needed an opportunity to go to the AL and get a chance to play, and I kind of like that. So this is a guy, Timmy, 393 strikeouts, lifetime strikeouts, 336 walks. It's a guy that gets on base. I mean, it's 393 over 1958. So what is that contact? So let me do the math here. 393. Are you good with math? That big of a number, Timmy? I'm not. So that is an 80% contact rate. So it's a guy who – you know, it's not going to strike out a ton. He's going to walk. He's got power. You know, he's a big boy. So I kind of like him, Tim. That's my point.
Yeah, definitely. I will be following up on this discussion probably relatively shortly after we get off the air before I forget about it, Rich.
That would be good. But you got to be bummed about Dejo Lee. I mean, this poor guy hit 14 home runs and very limited at bats, and the guy can't get a job.
Well, obviously, the 14 home runs, you know, he was in a platoon situation. Obviously, moving forward, I would have to believe that Seattle doesn't think he can handle the job on a full-time basis. And so be it. He gave it a good shot. Nothing to be embarrassed about other than his stolen base potential, but it was limited at best. And, you know, if he goes back to Japan... good on him.
14 home runs and 292 at bats. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, it's 104 games. So you throw another 50 games on that. That's a guy that's hitting 20-25 home runs. So, you know, we don't even know if he can hit against lefties or not. So, or I guess he's a right-handed. So we don't know if he can hit against righties because he's always on the opposite, the wrong side of the platoon.
Yeah, no, like. I think he had the potential to be a solid DH first base type, but, you know, he didn't get the at-bats last year against right-handed pitching to prove it, so be it. You know, he's what, early mid-30s, I think? Closing in on mid-30s? He got the opportunity, so good for him.
He is 35, Timmy, so...
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so he's definitely, what did you call it, the mature, the generation, what did you used to mention at the very beginning of the show, like the mature generation or the older generation, and he's in that area of baseball now.
Well, yeah, he's beyond older. Oh, I thought older was like 28 now, okay? Prime is 26. He's ancient.
Right. So, Timmy, we've got a couple of other things that we're going to talk about. We're already half hour into the show, really getting out some good content. Lots of fantasy content as opposed to just pure baseball content. But one of the things I do, we always like to play the game, is where will they sign? And I've got all the guys that are qualifying offer guys. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys. And I kind of want to know where they're going to go, Timmy. So where do they sign? So let's start it off. Yonas Cespedes, Timmy, with the Mets. Does he stay with the Mets or does he enter free agency and go somewhere else?
You remember when I mentioned about Howie Kendrick's clearing space?
Okay. All right. Let's hear about that. See, it's going to the Dodgers.
Yeah, Dodgers. I think the Dodgers, if we're clearing some space for Cespedes, and I think they're clearing space for another player too, but we'll get to that when we get to the very last question.
Wow. So you got Yonas Cespedes going to the Dodgers. I have him, Timmy. I don't think he will accept the qualifying offer, but I think he wants to stay with the Mets. So I got him staying with the Mets. So that's where I have him going. Timmy, I do terrible at this game. You do much better at it. Mark Trumbo. I would be surprised if he accepts that qualifying offer. Probably won't. But Mark Trumbo was massive. I think he led the league in home runs. And if I were him, I would stay in Baltimore.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad call. But I think coming off the monster season, I think there'll be enough out there to entice him. The only problem with Trumbo is that he's a DH. He's not a real great outfielder, is he?
Terrible. Terrible. I've seen him live. He's terrible, Timmy.
Yeah, okay. So where does that leave him? I have him with the to the White Sox.
The rebuilding, kind of rebuilding White Sox. That's very, very interesting. That'd actually be a good spot for him. So you got him with the White Sox. I'm being boring here, Tim. I got him staying with the Orioles.
Yeah.
He might not find a spot, and the Orioles might pick him up on the cheap, but I think he eventually goes back. He will have, because he's going to have a qualifying offer again, so that means he's going to cost teams a draft pick. And I just don't know if people are going to give up a draft pick for Mark Trumbo, because I know the power is there, but he's limited to American League, so that cuts it down. I just don't see where he's going to go, so that's why I'm staying with the Orioles.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I had to look long and hard to come up with the White Sox. I really did. There's, when you look at DH types, there's not many teams that have a spot ready for a Mark Trumbo other than in the outfield. And there's not even that many there. The teams that do have spots, they're not going to play the game with the money.
Jeremy Hellickson is the next guy, Timmy, and I can't even believe he's on this list. I can't even believe that he's not going to accept the qualifying offer. If there's one guy that should, he should do it. Timmy, he's not that good, but there's no pitching out there, so he's going to do that. So where does he sign?
Well, right now, one of the premier teams in the American League, they made the playoffs, one-game playoff. Right now, the Texas Rangers have two pitchers, Yu Darvish and Cole Hamels. 3, 4, and 5 are sketchy at best. I think the Rangers offer him a 3-year deal, and he takes it.
Wow, that's a great call, Timmy. You got him going to the Rangers. I don't know where he's going to go, so I'm going to guess. I didn't write anything down here, so I'm going to go. Where am I going to go? I'm going to go. Boy, he's such a lousy pitcher. Man, this is really tough. Everybody needs pitching. So I'm going to go with the Miami Marlins, Timmy. I'm going to go, he will be the replacement for JF. So let's go with that. So Rich has
going
to the Marlins.
He might be the replacement for Wei-Yin Chen. Didn't they sign him last year?
That's absolutely true. Neil Walker, Timmy, I think he accepts the qualifying offer. So that's, I say he stays a Met because I think he's injured, isn't he not?
Yeah, he had a back problem. And I agree with you. But he's going to stay in New York, I think, Rich.
Yeah, I think he'll be the guy that accepts it. E5, Edwin Encarnacion, Timmy, and this, I know you have to say his name to play the game correctly. So where does E5 sign?
Edwin Encarnacion. How's that? He ends up.
I'm gonna give you a solid B on that. I wasn't a little bit of a hesitation there, but I liked how you that was pretty good. So that gives you the solid B.
Well, thank you. I spent 4 hours practicing today, Rich.
Okay.
It was worth it for a B gush, darn it.
Yeah, that's good. So, where do you got him going?
Boston. He's going to take Big Poppy's advice and Big Poppy's spot, and the Boston Red Sox are going to get themselves 40 home runs and 120 RBIs.
I would be really disappointed if that's where he went, Timmy. I mean, after Boston, like the Yankees, have rebuilt that team, gotten younger, gotten more athletic, they have a tremendous offense. They need pitching in a big way, and I think they will get some pitching. Because somebody's going to land Chris Sale and some other guys and Justin Verlander and so forth. I think they'll be one of the guys that goes there. I would just be bummed if that's – they have plenty of guys that can play at DH.
Well, you know what? If they don't get the pitching, okay, E5 gives them the opportunity to win an awful lot of 11-7 games.
Okay, that's true. That's true. I got them going to the Rangers, Timmy. Who's playing first base at the Rangers?
Joey Gallo.
Oh, come on.
That's my first thought. I didn't say it was a good thought, but it was a thought.
I think I read somewhere that they're going to start him back in the minor leagues. So all those people, all those haters out there that said I was completely out of my mind that he was going to be the second coming, he still isn't out of the minor leagues, Tim.
Well, you know, myself and Boris, we own him in DL2. So not that that plays...
Now I get it.
Jose could influence me, Rich.
Jose Bautista, this is an interesting one. He'd be smart to accept that qualifying offer because I don't think it's going to end well for Jose Bautista.
I don't think it's going to end well either if he doesn't take it. So I'm going to say he's been snooping around looking for his big deal, and based on what we saw last year, he ain't going to get it. So I think he's in Toronto for another year, Rich, hoping to have a monster season and parlay it into a better situation for him come next offseason.
Yeah, but next offseason, Timmy, is when all the guys are there. I mean, that's when the Harpers, that's when everybody's coming out. I mean, that's when all these guys with these crazy contracts can buy out the contract or get out early. So I don't know, man. It's a good thought, and I want to put down that he's going to go to Toronto. I think that's a smart thing. But you think he's got the intestinal fortitude to do that, given that he says he should be a $100 million player? He's going to put his tail between his legs and say, "Nah, I'm gonna stay." I think his pride will get in the way, and he won't do that.
That is an excellent point. It's definitely something that should be considered because there's a little bit of ego involved here. And, I just don't think, and I could be wrong, I look at his fielding skills and where they've evolved to. I look at, you know, is he now a full-time DH, part-time outfielder? There's not that many teams that would have that opportunity. How about Houston? Would Houston give him a three-year deal?
Well, I know Houston's been talking about it with E5, so that's another team that all of a sudden they're starting to get dumb here, and I worry they're going to make some dumb things, which is signing a 35-year-old guy to a four-year deal, and I hope they don't do that. That would be very un-Jeff Luhnow-like, but it looks like he's maybe getting caught in that trap, that panic trap that I have to do something.
Well, you know what? It's nice to be rebuilding. And it's nice to have all of these prospects moving through the system. But at some point in time, doesn't his job depend on results?
Yeah, well, I mean, he made the playoffs one year, and he came very close to making it a second year. That's pretty good.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. But, you know, is Houston ready to roll out A.J. Reed as their everyday first baseman? Are they ready to make that commitment? If they're not, maybe E5 or Bautista at first base, maybe that does the trick.
Yeah, but they got so many. Yeah, I mean it's a fine point. I got some doubling down because I got Mark Trumbo going back to the Orioles. I got Jose Bautista. I think they're going to get one of those guys, Trumbo or Bautista, And the Orioles, let's face it, Timmy, they love picking scraps up, man. So
yep.
I think Jose Bautista stuck out on the free agent market a long, long time, and here comes the Orioles picking up the Jose Bautista carcass. And I think he signs and gets one of those opt-out kind of Jonas Cespedes kind of deals, and that's where I got him going. So I'm hoping I'm right on one of those, Trumbo or Bautista.
Well, you could very well be. It is a total crapshoot. It really is.
Yeah. We got Ian Desmond, Timmy. Built his value back up. I doubt he'll ever get his $140 million deal that he left on the table. But where you got Ian Desmond going?
Well, this is an interesting one because I went through all the rosters, and I've got five names, four of them checked off. I had Indians, Angels. Then I had Indians. Then I had Jays. I'm going with Indians. I think they're going to spend some money. They need an outfielder in the worst of ways, and I think it became very apparent in the playoffs. And where else is Ian Desmond going to go? The options
Angels.
Are limited.
I thought the Astros. But I got Dexter Fowler going back to the Astros. So I've got Desmond going to the Angels.
Yeah, that was my second choice until I figured the Indians were more of a priority. I just don't know if the Indians would spend the money. I think it'd be the better fit. But, yeah, the Angels works. Yeah, I have no problems with that.
All right, I've got Richard Scott, Dexter Fowler going back to the Astros. I think he's an Astros kind of guy. And, you know, they're not going to have Carlos Gomez anymore to kick around. And I think they will spend a little bit of money, and I think they'll bring in a guy who gets on base a lot, a good leadoff hitter, and that'll put Jose Altuve back to the number two hole, hopefully, and maybe he'll go back to stealing some bases.
Yeah, I have Fowler going to the Cardinals just to annoy Cubs fans.
All right, Timmy's got him going. That's a good call, Timmy.
They need a leadoff bat right now, badly.
They do. That's a really good call. A really good call. I wish I would have come up with. That's why you're smarter than me. Kenley Jansen, Timmy. Where does Kenley Jansen go from the? He's probably he and Chapman, and they're going to get paid big time.
Oh, yeah.
Where does Jansen go?
Well, I got Jansen going to the Nats. I think the Nationals will pony up the cash for him and make a move, and they're in the process of, I believe, losing Melanson, so it would be a perfect replacement situation.
I love the call, Timmy. It's a great call. I got Chapman going, by the way. I didn't put that down. I got Chapman going back to the Yankees. I think the Yankees are going to pony up big time for him. So I think Chapman is – where would you think Chapman signs?
Chapman I have going to the Dodgers.
Interesting. Yeah, that could be. He might do that. Chapman. So, boy, can you imagine being courted by both the Yankees have come out and said they would love to re-sign him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Chapman had a good experience with New York. So can you imagine, like, the two most financially robust teams all bidding for your services? I mean, he could get that $100 million deal, the first relief pitcher to ever get that.
Somebody's going to – one of those two is going to break records, I think, this year. Maybe both.
I don't have him going to the Nationals. I mean, and it's a good call because the Nationals need somebody. Because you know what? I love Kota Glover, and I'm hoping, because I own him in a lot of fantasy teams, that he gets – so I'm pulling a Tim McCloud. He gets the chance. So I'm voodooing anybody going to the Nationals and saying – Don't go there. So Melanson doesn't go there, and Kenley Jansen, none of those guys go to it. But you probably have a better chance than I do of winning this because it does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I was disappointed. I thought Trevor Gott was going to be something in that organization. That never panned out, did it?
Yeah, I own Trevor Gott. I think I owned him in that draft and hold league. I think he got sent to the minor leagues.
Yeah, and he never resurfaced.
Yeah. So, so because I got Chapman going to the, I like your call of Chapman going to the Dodgers. So I'm going to say Jensen go. I'm going to change my. So you've talked me out of Jensen going back to the Dodgers. I'm going to have him going to the Yankees because I think you're right. Chapman goes to the Dodgers. They outbid him in the Yankees because they're the Yankees. Have Kenley Jensen going back because that's where I got it.
Okay, that works for me.
Justin Turner is the last guy, Timmy. Where does Justin Turner go? Third baseman, I think you hit almost 30 home runs.
Yeah, no, he stays with the Dodgers. He takes the offer.
I got him staying with the Dodgers as well. So we're there. So we'll keep track of this, Timmy. See who wins and who does. Oh, one last guy. So here's. So wait a minute. We've got one more thing because you've got something going on. Give me a guy who will be traded and where do they go?
Okay, the guy I got being traded is Ryan Braun, and I got him going.
Been saying that for a long time.
I got him going to the Dodgers as part of a package that involves Yasiel Puig, and the Dodgers' starting outfield next year will be Cespedes, Peterson, and Braun.
Cespedes, Peterson, and Braun. Wow. Wow.
Dodgers are going to make a run for it, I think. They're in a situation where the clock's a ticking, and they got to pick who's got more money than the Dodgers. Boston, but other than that, not a whole lot of teams have that money to play around with, and I think they'd be foolish if they didn't take advantage of one Clayton Kershaw being in that rotation and do something right now to enhance the chances of seeing them in the World Series next year.
So my guy is Chris Sale.
Good call.
Chris Sale gets moved. I just don't know where he's going. I want you to help me figure this out because I need help, Timmy, because you're going to beat me in this game. I could see him going to the Red Sox. The Red Sox need Chris Sale. They have the prospects. They have the younger players. They can move a Jackie Bradley Jr. They could move a Yoel Makata. They have Dombrowski, who's not afraid to move his grandmother if he needs to bring a player in. Actually,
right, he doesn't have his checks and balances guy there anymore. He's gone to the desert, right?
Yeah, that's true. So I could see him going to the Red Sox. I could also see him, in your logic, going to the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers have got – I mean, they're not far away from having as strong and as deep of a system as the Red Sox have. So I could see him going to the Dodgers. Where do you think he goes out of those two teams?
Well, you know what? And if the Rangers aren't really turned on too much by Jeremy Hellickson, the Rangers could get into that fray too, couldn't they?
That's true, but I don't – I haven't done the Texas Rangers, one of the few systems I haven't done. It's not very strong anymore, Timmy. They'd have to give up Jerks. They'd have to give up Jerks and Profar and somebody else. So would Jerks and Profar as a lead entice you to move? Let's say, what if it was Jerks and Profar and Mazzaro for Chris Sale? I think that would probably get it done.
Yeah, I think that would get it. As long as Chicago agreed to pay for all the uniforms that Sale destroys as a Ranger, they'd probably do it.
Yeah, so all right. So the Rangers is a good call, but between the Red Sox and the Dodgers, where would you have them going?
Red Sox. Yeah. Boston wants to win another World Series. I think they're going to pony up for E5. The offense is there. If they keep, the pitching is not bad. It's not great. It's not bad. You know, hey, if Price bounces back, you got a solid 1-2. You throw Chris Sale in there. That team's sick.
I agree with you, Timmy. So we are at the 55-minute mark. I was going to try to keep it to about an hour and 15 minutes, yet we have two long segments to do yet. So I'm going to make an executive decision, Mr. McLeod.
Oh, no, you don't hit the one button, please. Not the one button. Anything but that.
We are going to cut your interview of me about the NL Central prospects, if that's okay, because I entitled today's podcast something about we start the 30 questions, fantasy
right,
questions.
Right.
So how about we do that next week, and I promise to get to it.
Yeah, well, that's not a problem. I've got all my notes ready to go here. I'm assuming you'll give me control over the full keyboard during this interview process so I can play tunes and everything else, and I'm looking forward to it. But, hey, I can put that off for a week. Not a problem.
Actually, do you want to have access? I don't know if I can give you access to play the tunes. That's interesting.
I don't think you'd want to, Rich.
Okay. All right. All right. We'll leave it at that. When we get back, we're going to start our 30 fantasy questions, which we do every year, Timmy. So let's get going. When we first started doing this bit, Timmy, I would I don't know what I just thought it was 30 was an interesting number. I didn't even really remember why think of why I did 30. It just came to mind. And all of a sudden I realized there was 30 teams. So maybe I should do questions about every 30 team. And the first couple of years we did it, we didn't get through all 30 questions, but last year we did. And people really like this segment because we go team by team. And I basically bring up a couple of handful of questions about the team and the players from a fantasy standpoint. So that's why I wanted to make sure we started off this segment correctly and get the first, and we're going to start with the AL West and talk about the AL West and some questions surrounding that.
Yeah, no, Rich, we have grown and matured. We are much more disciplined than we were even last week.
I don't know about that. Last week's show was fun. All of our shows are fun. I don't even know which ones are better than the next, so.
Well, yeah, I have to laugh. You know, when I look at your notes, the first thing I always look at is the headline. And short show today, just a few topics. And I started giggling as soon as I saw the interview and the 30 questions. I said, there's no way we're getting through all this. Not a hope in heck.
Yeah, I know, Timmy. I kind of was, yeah. It's tough because it was more activity than I thought this week when I was thinking Monday, Tuesday, what we were going to talk about. And then there was just so much activity. Next week we're going to have, there probably won't be surprises. Like all the awards get given out this week. I'm sure we'll want to comment on that.
Well, yeah, I'm all ready to comment on the fact that Zach Britton as a relief pitcher doesn't qualify for the Cy Young, but I'll leave that for next week.
Yeah, he didn't even make the finals, right? He didn't make the top three.
Embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, anxious to hear your. We'll talk about that next week, Timmy. So let's go because we could spend 5 minutes just going on your rant about Zach Britton. So
and throw that wonderful spiel about our discipline right out the window, right?
Exactly. So let's start with the Houston Astros, Timmy. So
yes.
Here's my first question: Carlos Correa was a first round pick last year, but likely falls to the second round for the upcoming season. Is there value there?
Yes, I want. The kid's 22. Yeah, he came up a pinch shy, short of 100 RBIs. The batting average was solid. What, 20 home runs? He stole, 13, 14 stolen bases? That's a 22-year-old. The kid is going to be a superstar. Greg, if he's available in the second round, grab him.
I totally agree with you, Timmy. And, in fact, I know you took a lot of abuse, and yeah, he probably didn't return first-round value last year for you in Tout Wars. I still, to this day, Timmy, and I will defend your honor, I still don't think it was a bad pickup.
It didn't make one bit of difference as far as where I finished last year in Tout. I finished in home runs and RBIs, I believe third or fourth in home runs, third or fourth in RBIs. The numbers were solid in those categories. No effect whatsoever. And you know what? I think looking back to what happened last year and so much power emerging throughout the draft at all levels, I don't think a Korea first-round pick caused anybody to lose a league last year.
Yeah, that's what's going to make it tricky this year because if we play the tapes that we saw last year, I mean, and you draft speed early and all of a sudden power is the thing that all of a sudden disappears and last year was an outlier, then we just give up, Timmy. I don't know what you do. I mean, this is what's so confusing this year is the power real or not? And that's going to be – and nobody knows that answer.
Well, yeah, is the power real? And starting pitching is not – there's a lot of question marks. Maybe a starting pitching should go a little bit higher, anticipating a thinout towards the middle and latter rounds. I don't know yet. I haven't done any mocks, but – I will be firing up my mocks at Coach Managers the beginning of December, so we're going to get some answers.
Yeah, I might even partake in a couple of those because there's a lot of questions I have. And I'm with you, Timmy, just looking, you know, the little bit of drafting you and I have done just going for the first two or three rounds. Boy, outfield is going to get thin in a hurry.
Well, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people fighting over Kevin Kiermaier in about the 10th round.
Yeah, I like Kevin Kiermaier, too. So give me stat line for Carlos Correa. Stolen bases, home runs, and a batting average, Mr. McLeod.
Okay, we are going to go with 17 stolen bases, 26 home runs, a .285 average, and 105 RBIs.
That's a fantastic player. That's a great call, Timmy. I love it. I love it all around. I think he's the real deal. I think he'll have a chance eventually to compete for a MVP award. So I am all in on Carlos Correa. One of the funnier things I heard this week is Dallas Keuchel's all excited that he's thinking about throwing his name into the hat of playing in the World Classic, Timmy. And I'm thinking, who the hell wants Dallas Keuchel on their team? does the U.S. really want this guy pitching for them?
Well, you know, I read an article this week, and it said Japan and Korea are ecstatic to know that Dallas Keuchel will be pitching in the WBC.
So my second question, I give two questions to the Astros, only one question to the Angels, because the Angels are – what does he have to show you in spring training in order for you to even roster him? Because I don't think he's rosterable, Timmy.
I think he's rosterable, but what I need to see in spring training – is I need to see the radar gun showing 90 to 92, not 88 to 89. How's
yeah,
that?
You're not going to see that, Timmy. You're not going to see it.
Well, if I'm not going to see it, well, guess how many teams I'll own Dallas Keuchel on next year?
I think if you see 90, I might go, okay. He can't pitch at 88.
No.
Because the fine line is too fine there, and if he doesn't have 80 grade command, which he didn't have last year, he's going to get killed.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at him as a number four, number five option in 15-team leagues, and I'm not going to be chasing him, but when he falls far enough that I think there's some upside warranting, yeah, I'll look at him, but I really don't think I'll own him on too many teams next year.
I do own him in one dynasty league, Timmy, and I will not pitch him until I am convinced he is not going to destroy my ratios, because in the one league I owned him in, I never recovered. He buried me. He and stupid Corbin buried me, and I never recovered.
Well, no, if you get off to a start where you're sporting an ERA of 6 at the end of April, it's a long, painful, arduous ride to get it back into contention, and It makes for a season that's not a lot of fun, Rich. It really isn't.
I didn't have a 6, Timmy, but I had a 5.5, and mm-hmm. I had almost a 1.5 whip. Now, if I go back and look at that league, I actually ended up, I think, with a 3.8 ERA and a 1.31 whip. It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But
What's a 1.31 whip worth, Rich? 2 points?
I think
three
I got
points?
3 points, 4 points, something like that. But I crawled back. I mean, it was impressive. But, you know, in that league, that particular league, I have an amazing offense. I mean, I've got
right.
Rizzo. I've got Bryan. I've got Trey Turner. I mean, on and on. And I got it studded every off. So I had no problem. I had like 65, 70 points in offense. And I honestly had 10 points in my pitching. And it just – because I couldn't believe that Dallas Keuchel was that bad. I just couldn't believe it.
Next year you might have to go with the Matt Bush, Diekman. You might have to go with the middle relievers to start the season just to put some sort of control or semblance of control on the ratios while still maintaining at least some decent strikeout numbers. And yeah, it might be an approach to take.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. I'm sitting with him, and I anybody else who has him, the keeper or dynasty league, that is my advice, because it was so ugly last year. And it was always one inning, Tim. He pitched good 3 or 4 innings. In fact, he could have a blow up in the second inning and pitch really well in the third or fourth, fifth inning. But usually that second inning gave up 7 runs. It was absolutely awful.
Well, yeah, there's nothing more enjoyable than watching your pitcher give up 7 runs in the first inning. And then pitch 4 shutout innings to go 5, right?
Yeah, and still wind up with a 9 ERA. That's what sucks. And
well,
it's like,
exactly.
And to make matters worse, this wasn't your number 5 starter. This was the number 1 starter in Houston, and A.J. Hinch had the same belief I did. He can't be this bad, so he kept throwing him out there. In fact, pitch him early. We got a couple of rain dates. We got a couple of off days. Let me keep pitching him as much as I can because he's our best pitcher. And he gets to the end of April and goes, this guy's no good. I'm like, yeah, thanks.
Well, I owned him on 3 or 4 redraft leagues last year, and that would be the reason why I did very poorly in all my redraft leagues. You just can't recover.
It was, It was amazing, Timmy. I learned a valuable lesson. It's I don't care what the name on the back of the jersey says. After two or three 7-8 ERA outings, I'm done. I mean, I'm putting them on, parking them on the bench.
Well, that's the best spot because if you're playing the I want to be stubborn game, you will lose more often than you're going to win.
Playing stubborn, Timmy. The Angels were really, really bad last year. And with the farm system, I have done the Angel farm system, Timmy. It's equally bad, not very good at all. My question is, are they closer to losing 100 games or closer to a 500 season?
I'm going to say they're closer to a 500 season. They still have a couple players that can carry that team, and I could see a low 70s win total out of them.
I got them closer to 100 loss, Timmy. I think they stink. They're terrible. And they're not going to trade Mike Trout. They should trade Mike Trout. I don't even know if there's enough players that they could get from Mike Trout. I don't even know how you would do that.
Well, you go to Boston and you say to Dave Dombrowski, okay, Davey, I want Benintendi. I want Moncada. I want Devers. I want your three best pitching prospects, and I want all six of them, and you can have Mike Trout. That's how you do it.
So it has to
Dombrowski
be Kopech? It would be Kopech. It would have to be Moncada.
Yep.
And Benintendi, I agree with that. I think it's got to be I guess Benintendi's a major leaguer. They might have to give up JBJ as well because Mike Trout would play center field. That's interesting. You think he would do it?
Dombrowski? Yeah, well, I can't rule anything out. Do I think the Angels do it? No. But I think that's the type of deal you have to look at if you're talking a Mike Trout. And how many teams have 3, 4, 5 elite-level prospects that they can ship off for the best player in baseball? Hey, Babe Ruth got traded. Anybody can get traded.
How about this one, Timmy? How about this one?
Mm-hmm.
Mike Trout to the Washington Nationals, Bryce Harper back, Lucas Giolito back to start, and maybe Victor Robles back as well. So you get some young guys, you get Bryce Harper for a year to ease the pain, and you cut some salary, you get a pitching stud, probably throw in another pitching stud. Fetty. Throw him in there as well, and you get Mike Trout.
Well, yeah, I think you'd need another bat, but the problem with Harper is Harper's just a rental.
I know.
There's no way unless you say to Bryce Harper, hey, you know what, we're willing to offer you an extension. We'll give you $300 million for the rest of your career. How's that for an extension? And he takes it.
Yeah, but I'd rather have Trout, I guess.
Yeah, so it's...
Well, wait a minute. So that's actually interesting. So what if it costs me $300 million? I pay for that, but I get all those other guys, too.
Well, yeah, because it's not costing you that, because how much is Trout costing you right now, right?
Well, Trout ends up, though, if I remember the contract, he ends up like a $30 million a year player. He's not costing you much now.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to cost a lot about 3 years.
Yeah, but that's to a team like Boston or a team like Washington, there's lots of money in baseball.
Is there any way you don't draft Mike Trout 1-1, Tim?
No.
No,
I had to hesitate for a second. You know what? If Clayton Kershaw was coming off a 25-win season with an ERA of 1.5, and there were no question marks health-wise, I could see Kershaw possibly being a number one. But offensively, no. Right now, with everything we know and understand, Mike Trout is the best player in the game. You got to draft him number one. With Mookie Betts, Altuve, Goldie, pick one at 2, 3, 4.
Agreed. Oakland A's, Timmy. Sonny Gray was terrible. It was just brutal last year. I don't know if he's about ready. His elbow's about ready to break. I know he was out for some time twice with forearm injury. But a 5.69 ERA, he had an inflated home run. I don't know also if He's 5'10". Is that starting to catch up to him? I mean, where do you draft him?
Well, you know, I took a look. I went over to Brooks just to take a look, and you know what? His velocity was okay, Rich. It wasn't significant. It wasn't down. What was up in a rather huge way were the Gopher balls. He allowed 18 of them in only 117 innings, right?
Correct. That is correct.
So if the velocity is not down.
That's why I mentioned the size, Timmy. I figured maybe 5'10". You're always worried about no plane on his pitches, and all of a sudden, is that starting to catch up to him?
Well, yeah. I didn't investigate his breaking stuff as thoroughly as I should have, but I'm willing to take a chance on Sonny Gray bouncing back. More so than I am Keuchel, simply because of the velocity. The velocity was there, right? And if the velocity...
Yeah.
If the velocity is there, if he's having a problem with location, I think maybe that can be rectified.
Mm-hmm.
But I also understand where you're coming from as far as, you know, you look at the size, you look at the innings. He's only pitched two seasons, Rich. This is only his, last year was only, I believe, his third season. So there's a lot of questions. I'm not gonna draft him like I did last year, not by any stretch of the imagination. But I am willing to take a chance on a bounce back out of Gray, hoping his arm holds up.
Yeah, so you might be able to get him as a bounce back. That's actually I agree with you there, Timmy. I think there is value in him because I think a lot of people will pass over him. I don't know where the portals are going to rank him, but I think they're going to rank him fairly low, and I think there's opportunity there.
Well, yeah, you know, you take a look at where does Aaron Sanchez go? There's another young arm coming off a great season. If you can get Sonny Gray 2 to 3 rounds after an Aaron Sanchez, if that's possible, looking at the two of them comparatively, is there value there?
I think there is.
Yeah, so I'm sort of bullish on Sonny Gray.
Sonny Gray, 2013 was the he only pitched 64 innings in Oakland. He was 23 years old, so his first full season was 2014. Second full season 2015. Last year was his third full season. And he wet the bed.
Yeah, between Keuchel and Sonny Gray, there was a reason my pitching struggled last year, Rich. I own both in a lot of leagues.
Yeah, well, I think you owned Corbin as well.
Oh, yeah. A little deeper plate, I'll turn around, you can get the back. Right square in the middle, Rich.
Oh, man, I know, Timmy, I feel your pain, man. I feel your pain. Seattle Mariners, Timmy, is Ketel Marte any good? He hit .267 last season. He had a .287 on-base percentage. He only had 11 stolen bases. We thought he was going to be good. Timmy ain't no damn good.
Well, you know what? I'm giving him a mulligan. He missed 2 weeks at the end of May.
All right.
He missed another 2 weeks at the end of July. He went through a six-week bout of mono. He lost 22 pounds over the summer with the mono. I think the kid's got skills. I just think he went through a totally devastating year injury-wise, and I think that affected his performance top to bottom. You know, he took a couple weeks at the end of July, but you don't play through mono with a two-week break. You know, he's not a big boy, and to lose 22 pounds, you know, that had to have affected not only his running game, his strength, his whole game. So I know that right now the Mariners are rumored to be interested in Cozart. I think they almost had a deal done at the deadline. But I'm not ready to give up on Ketel Marte yet. I want to see some health out of him. And I think the pedigree is such that he still has the potential to be a very good ball player.
You know what, Tim? I bought your argument. Lock, stock, and barrel. You could be absolutely wrong, but I love the logic, and I'm going to agree with you.
Well, thank you. That's why I'm in sales, Rich.
Okay. So we're both going to be owners of Ketel Marte and hitting the waiver wire on April 23rd?
Sounds about right, Rich. Sounds about right. But you know what?
I'll meet you there.
you gave me an opportunity to break the plaid jacket out of the closet, and I love it.
Exactly. I was totally bought it, Timmy. I totally bought it. All right. Okay. Second question. On the Mariners, would you draft Mike Zunino? Now, this is a guy that came out I think he was the number 3 overall draft pick in 2011. Now that was the year of Holtzen, so it must have been 2012. And hit the ground running, and then he couldn't hit, Timmy, and there's always been power there, but he couldn't hit. He got demoted. All of a sudden, 17 home runs and 79 games in AAA. He looks like he's back. What about Mike Zunino? Would you draft him as your second catcher and gamble there?
As a second catcher, yeah, but I think we still have to temper our expectations a little bit. You know, with Seattle last year, he had 12 home runs. But he also struck out 65 times in 164 at-bats. Now, granted, he walked a little bit more, and I think we have seen enough improvement to look at him as a number two, but he had a .207 batting average. He's going to be a .220 hitter. If you're counting on him for full-time at-bats with that level of batting average, that's going to hurt. If he gets 150, 180 at-bats in with Carlos Ruiz getting the majority, then you can live with that power low batting average a little bit easier. So as a number two, I'm okay with it. If you want to go late on catching and hope for a miracle, I think it's going to bite you.
Yeah, it was kind of a loaded question, Tim, because I think you're absolutely right. I think number two is even a little of a push because they have Carlos Ruiz there now, so they dropped it for him. But if I take a look at his 2015 season, Tim, the year he got demoted, where he was batting 174 for owners who owned him back then know the pain that he caused. But 350 at-bats, he had 164 at-bats this year. He had 65 strikeouts this year, batted .207. You go, oh, that's not, you know, it's bad, not too bad. But when he batted 174, Timmy, and twice as many at-bats, he had 132 strikeouts. So if you do the math, his contact rate's identical. He only walked 21 times in 2015. Now he walked 21 times in 2016, so maybe there's better plate control. But not much better. I mean, 21 over 164 bats, that's not very good.
Well, no, he's one of those players, Rich, where you're going to hope he gets limited at bats to be to your advantage.
Yeah. Actually, I lied. 21 over 164 at bats is actually okay. So, but I hear you, Timmy. So I agree. The swing and miss is still there. Maybe he's gotten a little bit more better plate patience, but I think he's a .220 batting average with Tyler Flowers, that kind of profile.
Yeah, with maybe a bit more power, but I like what Seattle has done though in bringing in Ruiz to work with him. I think that's a definite plus and a very, very smart move.
I like Ruiz, and because I'm a huge fan and owner of Taijuan Walker, so and I think that's only going to help him. I think he's ready to bust out and break out, but he needs help. The arm is special, but I think his pitch sequencing has a lot to be desired. So I think he needs help there, and I think Carlos Ruiz can help him there.
Yeah, Iannetta wasn't the answer, is what you're saying?
No, he wasn't. There's another guy. That's Iannetta. That's Mike Zunino 2.0. With Zunino has a little bit more home run, but Iannetta can't hit either.
No, he's there for his play calling ability.
Yep. Texas Rangers, the last team here, Timmy, and then we're gonna bust out of here. Nomar Mazzara hit the ground running last year, but tailed off as the season wore on. He's only 22 years old with 20 home run season already under his belt. Does he take the next step forward this year? Is 25 home runs, maybe 30 home runs possible, Tim? Does his 37 walks in 143 games worry? This is a guy who doesn't walk that often, Timmy. So tell me your thoughts on Nomar Mazzara.
Well, I guess my first question, I'll throw a question back at you, Rich. Does anybody worry about walk rates these days?
You know, that's a really good question. No one seems to care about strikeouts.
Yeah,
I guess unless you're the 1-2-3 spot, nobody seems to really care about on base percentage, and in fact, some teams don't even care about that. So
right,
that's fair. But boy, if he doesn't get on base, how can he score runs in fantasy and blah 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 blah? So I don't know.
Yeah,
I care about it. So.
So do I. And I think what's going to happen at some point in time is a team is going to play little ball and surprise the world, and we will see trends come full circle. And it's not going to be something that's going to happen overnight, But the game of baseball is trends, and I think if we see a team very successfully use a modified little ball approach and is successful, much like relief pitchers this year, everybody's going to load up on relief pitchers. You got to have six. The same thing will happen as far as the on-base skills. And I think what's going to prompt that somewhat is looking at the WBC in March next year.
Oh, yeah. The U.S. probably won't win again because they're going to get little ball to death. But, Timmy, the Cubs, I mean, they struck out a lot. They have a lot of power, but those guys have are on-base guys. I mean, Ryan is walks 100 times. Rizzo walks 100 times or close to it. And Zobrist can take a, you know, take a base as well. I mean, they've got some guys, Timmy, that that are on-base guys.
Well, yeah, and you look at Chicago, everybody's protecting each other in that lineup, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, who do you want to walk to? Who do you want to face, right?
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
You know, you walk a couple of the big bats to get to, what, Baez and Zobrist or Addison Russell, who drove in 95 runs as a, what, 23-year-old, 22-year-old? It's a lot easier when you got the protection, and the Cubs have got a boatload of protection, no doubt about it. But getting back to Mazzaro, great numbers at 22. He's only going to get better. And I can see 25 to 30 home runs this year, no problem. I think one of the things that we've seen happen as our game gets younger is I think a lot of players are learning the game, per se, on the field. Instead of refining skills at AAA and getting in half a season at AAA, AAA is being lost here, I think, Rich, in the whole process. And we're seeing players, and I think Mazzaro is one of them, refining and learning their craft at the big league level, you know, for the major league team. And I think he's only going to get better.
I agree with you, Timmy. And I also think that that statement in 2 or 3 years is not going to be true anymore, because I do think we've had a bubble here, and that bubble is starting to work its way through. And there are no Bryant, Trout, Harper, those kind of guys. They're not in the minor leagues anymore. Moncada is not Chris Bryant. He is not that level of player, and he is the number one prospect in the game. It is a minor league system that is down in comparison to where it was the last 2 or 3 years. So it'll be interesting to see how things transition here over the next several years.
Well, I totally agree. And let's just take a quick look at the Arizona Fall League this year, Rich, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see any Mike Trouts, any Bryce Harpers? Did you see any Francisco Lindors? Did you see a Myers? Did you see a Corey Seager? I don't think so. And I think we're beginning to see, and we saw some of it this year in the AFL. Now, don't get me wrong, there was some great talent there. But there wasn't elite talent, I don't believe.
Well, I mean, I did see one elite talent. I know you and I disagree on this. And I saw Gleyber Torres, who I think is going to be a superstar. I thought this guy's got power, the ability to hit, and a little bit of speed. I think he has a chance to be an elite player. I saw Moncada. I've seen Moncada a ton. I think this guy could be a superstar, but I do worry of his ability to hit. He could be more Javier Baez than we think. Really good bat speed, excellent athleticism, but he might not ever be able to hit enough to get above 260. Now, he might hit 20 home runs and steal 40 bases, but I mean, so he's got a chance, but it really, really fell off after those guys, and I totally agree with you.
Well, yeah, and you know, I'm not going to disagree with your assessment on those players. I think I agree with you. I think they could be elite players, but I don't think across the board in the Arizona Fall League this year we saw what we saw 5 years ago.
No, I totally agree with you, Timmy. And games I go to in the minor leagues, it's the same thing. I mean, you do not see the level of talent that was there just 2 or 3 years ago. And it was really that Chris Bryant year when he was working through. I mean, that was when we had all the 2011 draftees kind of coming through. We had a couple of these guys that popped up. That was the Carlos Correa year. Those were special years, and those guys coming out. And I think we're starting to see the tail end of that. You'll see some guys pop out this year. But, I mean, Andrew Benintendi is still considered a prospect, and Bregman's no longer a prospect, so we saw that. So you're going to have some guys, but it's not going to be – I mean, I love Nick Senzel. I think he's a chance to be a very, very special player, but he's not Chris Bryant. He's not to Alex Bregman. He's not that kind of player.
You know, or you know, that first year that I went down there, Harper and Trout playing on the same field in the Arizona Fall League. That's amazing.
Yep, totally agree with you, Timmy. Anyway, that's a wrap. Timmy, it's been a fun show as always. Do you want to share what you're doing this week? And you said you were writing for Couch Manager, or you're doing rankings for Couch Manager. Tell me what you're doing there.
Yeah, my good friends at Couch Managers asked me if I could try and sort through some of the rankings at their site. The site is now open for mock drafts. I'm not doing any. I'm not going to be doing any in the next few weeks because I'm tied up doing player capsules and some stuff for the fantasy guide. But over at Couch Managers, I'm trying to weed through and find all those little gems that everybody likes somewhere in the 800 range that should be in about the 300 range. Does that make sense?
It sure does, Timmy. I'd love to know some of those guys, too.
Yeah, well, hopefully they're not going to be in the 800 range when I get done. Each year with Coach Managers, they load all of their stats in afresh and anew. So what the biggest problem and where I'm trying to identify and find players is players that only played part seasons that were hurt get automatically shunted down in the rankings from where they import them from. So, it's a challenge. It's a lot of fun, and I got to thank the guys for putting some trust and faith in me to get some rankings assembled for their mock draft site. And as well, I'm also doing some work for the Fantasy Baseball Guide again this year. Not the mock draft, it looks like, but you got to share a little bit sometimes, right, Rich?
Absolutely, Timmy. I'm writing, Timmy. I'm finishing up. I'm almost done all the writing, but the prospect lists continue to come out. I think we are somewhere in the where are we? I think we're somewhere in the NL East. Is that correct? I think the Atlanta Braves just came out. So,
well, being on vacation, Rich, I've got to apologize to you because I've been a little bit remiss in keeping up. You're firing them out too quick for me when I'm on vacation. I need, you know, one a week sort of pace, eh? But now that I'm back in the swing of things, I'll be playing catch up and getting through all of your great articles because there's some really, really interesting stuff in there. Hopefully next week I can pose some questions and we can unearth some of your thought process.
And we will, Timmy. We will. Anyway, it was a lot of fun, Timmy. Enjoy your week. Good luck with all the writing and the rankings. And everybody, we will see you next week, this time, this same Bat Channel. Timmy, ready?
Yippers. Be well, Rich.
See you, Tim.